ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th canto, 2nd chapter, text number 22, entitled Maharaj Nimi meets the 9 Yogendras. Te Bhagavata रूपं विश्वं सत् असत् आत्मकम् आत्मनः अव्यतिरेकेन पश्यन्तः व्यचरन् महीम्। तेते भगवत्रूपं विश्वं सत्तदात्मकम् आत्मनो व्यतिरेकेण पश्यन्तो व्यचरन् महीम्। तयेते भगवत्रूपं विश्वं सत्सदात्मकम् आत्मनो व्यतिरेकेण पश्यन्तो व्यचरन् महीम्। तयेते भगवत्रूपं विश्वं सत्सदात्मकम् आत्मनो व्यतिरेकेण पश्यन्तो व्यचरन् महीम्। एते भगवद्रूपं विश्वं सत्सदात्मकम् आत्मनो व्यतिरेकेण पश्यन्तो व्यचरन् महीम्। विश्वं सत्सदात्मकम् आत्मनो व्यतिरेकेन पश्यन्तो व्यतिरेकम्। सयेते भगवत्रूपम् विश्वं सत्सदात्मकम् आत्मनो अव्यतिरेकेन पश्यन्तो व्यचरन् महीम्। मताजी, तयेते भगवत्रूपं विश्वं सत्सदात्मकम् आत्मनो व्यतिरेकेन पश्यन्तो व्यचरन् महीम्। वर्ड बाय वर्ड मीनिंग, ते दीज 9 योगेंद्रास, भागवत ऑफ द सुप्रीम लॉर्ड, रूपम ए फॉर्म, विश्वम द एंटायर यूनिवर्स, सद असत आत्मकम consisting of both gross and subtle objects, Atmanaha, from the self, Avyatirekena, as non-different, Pashyantaha, seeing, Vyacharan, they wandered, Mahim, the earth. Translation and purport by the disciples of Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation: these sages wandered the earth, seeing the entire universe with all its gross and subtle objects as a manifestation of the Supreme Lord and as non-different from the self. So this purport being very long, it was split into 3 parts. So today I am reading the concluding part of the purport, which is fairly long. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur has emphasized in this regard that the absolute substance is one and is called Paramatma or the Super Soul. When one has achieved but a partial vision of the Paramatma, one's understanding of life is called Atma Darshan or Self-Realization. And when even this partial understanding is lacking, one's essential condition is called Anatma Darshan or Ignorance of the Self. In the state of partial realization of the Super Soul, without the recognition of Paramatma's distinction from the individual soul, the living entity tends to become puffed up by spiritual achievement. He is carried away by mental concoction and considers himself equal in all respect with the God. On the other hand, the living entity situated in an Atma Darshan or material ignorance feels that he is completely different from the Supreme Lord. And since everyone in this material world is interested in himself, the living entity forgets about God, thinking that God is completely different from him and that there is therefore no substantial relationship between him and God. In this way, the impersonal transcendentalists emphasize only the oneness between God and the living entity, whereas the ordinary materialists overemphasize the difference between God and living entity. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has clearly revealed that the ultimate truth is simultaneous oneness and difference. Atincha bhedabhaita tattva. Actually, we are eternally different from God because the living entity and God are eternally separate individual entities. There exists the possibility of an eternal relationship. And because every living entity is qualitatively one with the Supreme Lord, that relationship constitutes the essence of the ultimate reality for every living being. As is stated in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Jivera Swarupahai Krishnira Nityadas, the ultimate essential identity of every living entity is his relationship with the Supreme Lord as a servitor of the Lord. If one can understand that he is an eternal servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one can correctly understand both the living entity and the material universe are identical with Krishna, being emanations from him, and that they are therefore non-different from each other. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati has stated, the material world is a manifestation of simultaneous difference and non-difference, and is a form of the Supreme Lord. Thus the temporary, perishable and ever-changing material world is different from Vaikuntha, the eternal world. It should be noted that in this verse, the word Sat-Asat-Atmakam is made up of gross and subtle object, does not refer to material and spiritual object. This universe is stated to be composed of Sat and Asat, gross and subtle material object. According to Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, the very subtle state within the manifest world is known as the unmanifest, and the realm beyond the manifest world is called as transcendental. Within the coverings surrounding the manifest in the region of the time factor, is the phase of material existence experienced by controlling deities. In this phase exist the two functions, cause and asat and effect, sat, in this universe, which is the third tattva or reality, apart from containing both sat and asat, and which is the form of Supreme Lord. It is impossible to produce any contradiction to the non-dual absolute truth. In other words, although ignorant materialist scientists may zealously carry out research to find a material principle that can negate or render unnecessary the existence of God, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati clearly states that since the universe is an emanation from the Lord, and therefore spiritually identical with Him, there cannot possibly exist anywhere within the universe a material law, principle or phenomenon that in any way contradicts the supremacy of the personality of Godhead. In fact, the entire universe along with the spiritual sky exists as eternal testimony in the unlimited glory of the spiritual sky, exists as eternal testimony to the unlimited glory of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. With this understanding, the nine Yogendras were traveling about the earth in transcendental bliss. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Vishtam स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपः कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकम् वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरु श्रीयुतापदकमलम् श्रीगुरुन् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सगणा रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवम् साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादान् सगणललिता श्रीशाखान्वितंश्च हे कृष्णा करुणा सिन्धु दीनबन्धु जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिकान्त राधाकान्त नमोऽस्तु ते तप्त काञ्चन गौरङ्गी राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम राम हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे So all of you are welcome to this Bhagavatam class. At the very outset, I would like to beg the blessings of all the Vaishnavas sitting in this audience so that I can speak a few words on this rather esoteric subject. So, to give a background to people who probably are coming for the first time today for this class, Lord Rishabhdev is a plenary expansion of the Supreme Lord Himself, and He was married to Jayanti, who was given to Him by Indra. And in His wedded life, Lord Rishabhdev, He actually begot 100 sons, very, very powerful and very, very qualified sons. So the eldest son, his name was Bharat. This our country Bharatvarsha named after this Bharat. So after 3 lifetimes, he went back home, back to Godhead. Makes a very beautiful reading in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Then Maharaj Bharat and 9 other elder sons of Rishabhdev, they qualified as Kshatriyas. And then the 9 younger sons of Rishabhdev, they were named as Yogendras, Nava Yogendras. Their names were Kavi, Havi, Antariksha, Prabuddha, Pippalayana, Avirahotra, Drumila, Chamasa, and Karabhajan. Some of these names we may have come across while reading Srimad Bhagavatam. The 81 remaining sons of Lord Rishabhdev became qualified Brahmanas. So thus, though he begot so many sons, all of them were wonderful and exalted. So real success of Grahastha Ashram demonstrated by Rishabhdev. So the Navayogendras are described as Paramahamsas, very exalted souls. And in the previous verse it is described that they were Vata Rasanas and Atma Visharadas. Vata Rasana means dressed by the wind, or in other words, naked. And Atma Visharadas means very well versed in all the scriptures. So wonderful, exalted souls. So these Paramahamsa devotees, they would travel naked from planet to planet. And in the course of their wanderings all over the planet, they came to the kingdom of King Nivi, and subsequent verses will describe what was the nature of discussion between the Navayogendras one by one and Lord Nivi. Very, very fascinating reading. So this will come in future. Right now, they have just about arrived in the palace of Lord Nivi. So these self-realized yogis or Navayogendras, they did not see any distinction between the material and spiritual worlds, as we are prone to. We say this is material, this is spiritual. But to Navayogendras, there was no such distinction in their consciousness. Why? Because they were all the time conscious of the fact or of the relationship between Krishna and material energy. So when you are aware of the relationship between the Supreme Lord Krishna, the creator of everything, and the material energy, you are no longer bewildered. You no longer have to classify this as material, that is spiritual. So that distinction they did not see at all. To them everything, you know, was big. So they could perceive how the cosmic manifestation, it is non-different from the Supreme Lord, being an emanation from the Lord Himself. That which emanates from the Lord is also complete. Om Purna Madha Purna Midam. So in one sense, everything is complete. Everything is spiritual. So there is this saying that Ayam Nijaha Paro Vetti Ganana Laghu Chetasam Udara Charitanam Tu Vasudeva Kutumbakam. This person, that person is mine. You know, he is my relative. And that fellow there, he is not mine. This distinction is not there among those whose consciousness is broad, Udara Charita, those who are self-realized. For them, all people are the same. Udara Charitanam Tu Vasudha Eva Kutumbakam. The entire universe is their family. So this way, these nine Yugendras would travel from place to place, planet to planet, and distribute the knowledge of God, which common people find very difficult to understand or appreciate. Is what they did. So what is important to understand in this purport is the relationship between Krishna and material world. How material energy and Krishna, they are related. This we will try to understand. So Krishna has simultaneous connectedness with material energy, with the material world, and also disconnectedness. So simultaneously is connected and also not connected. So let us go through a few subject matters in this connection. So Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita says, Aham sarvasya prabhaho matta sarvam pravartate iti matva bhajante mam buddha bhava samanvitaha. He says that I am the source of all spiritual and material worlds. Everything emanates from me. The wise who perfectly know this engage in my devotional service and worship me with all their hearts. So thus, if everything is coming out from Krishna only, so everything is His, everything is spiritual. So Krishna has simultaneous connectedness with the material world. The material world rests on Krishna's energy, but He is aloof. He is the source of the material world and He has maintained it, but He does not associate with it. So this way He is connected and also not connected. So this is a feature which keeps on occurring in Bhagavad Gita, where the Lord, you know, creates things, but He is not part of the creation. Same with, you know, Chaturvarna system. He says that I have created the system, but I am not a part of that. So this way we have to understand simultaneous connectedness and disconnectedness. So in the Bhagavad Gita only the Lord says, Aham Atma Gudakesha Sarva Bhutashaya Sthitaha Amadicha Madhyamcha Bhutanamanta Evacha. So Krishna says that I am the super soul, O Arjuna, seated in the hearts of all living entities. I am the beginning, the middle, and the end of all beings. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur in this purport emphasizes the role of the supreme soul or Paramatma, so we will be discussing it in some detail later on. So, Aham Atma Gudakesh. The Gudakesh in Srila Prabhupada in his purport in Bhagavad Gita says that the term Gudakesh is very significant. So he refers to Arjuna as one who is not sleeping, who is not in ignorance, Gudakesha. So one who is in ignorance, he is not able to understand anything about the Supreme Lord, you know, being connected with the material world or not connected. Only one who is not sleeping, only one who is in knowledge, is in a position to appreciate the position of the Supreme Lord. This is what is to be understood. So otherwise it is difficult to understand this connectedness and disconnectedness. So Arjuna is Gudakesh, and therefore Krishna reveals to him the supreme confidential knowledge. So Krishna first informs Arjuna that he is the soul of the entire universe. He is the soul of the entire universe, and he enters into cosmic manifestation in a variety of ways. So before material creation, the Supreme Lord Krishna, by plenary expansion, accepts Purusha incarnations, and from him everything begins. So Krishna is the soul of the Mahat Tattva, the 24 elements which we read about in Bhagavad Gita and the Srimad Bhagavatam. So the total material energy is not the cause of creation. Actually it is Mahavishnu who is an expansion of the Supreme Lord. When he enters the Mahat Tattva, the total material energy starts manifesting itself. This way, Krishna is connected through his energies with the material world. So when Mahavishnu enters the manifested universes, he again manifests himself as super soul in each and every entity. We know that the personal body of living entity exists due to the presence of the spiritual spark. Just as when the soul is not there in our body, the body is dead and gone, it is dead matter. Similarly, until such time as Mahavishnu enters as the supreme soul in the manifested universe, there is no life possible. So this way we have to understand how Krishna is simultaneously connected and not connected. So how do we really get to understand that Krishna is connected and not connected? So the Srimad Bhagavatam describes that there are three Vishnu forms through which Krishna's energies operate. So Saswat Tantra describes Vishnoho tu trini rupani purushakhyani ato viduhu ekam tu mahasrushtru dvitiyam tu andasamsthitam tritiyam sarvabhutastam tani jnatma vimuchyate. So the translation is that for material creation, Lord Krishna's swamsha or plenary expansions assumes three Vishnu forms. What are the three Vishnu forms? The first form is that of Karanodaka Shai Vishnu or Mahavishnu, who creates the total material energy. It's known as Mahat Tattva, we spoke about that. The second one is Garbhodaka Shai Vishnu, who enters all the universes to create diversities in each of them. The secondary creator, Lord Brahma, is born on a lotus emanating from his navel. So Brahma creates the universe, and the source of Brahma is the, you know, the lotus which actually emanates from Garbhodaka Shai Vishnu, who actually is an expansion of Lord Krishna. So thus we see the connection. The third is Kshirodaka Shai Vishnu. He is different as all pervading super soul Paramatma. He is present even within atoms. He is present everywhere, he is present even within atoms. So Mahavishnu or Karanodaka Shai Vishnu is described in Brahma Samhita, which we chant regularly. So I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, who lies in the causal ocean as Mahavishnu, with all the universes from the pores of his hair on his transcendental body. So from Mahavishnu's pores, different pores, the universes came on sprouting out. And actually it is described that when the Mahavishnu breathes in, everything in the creation goes within, and when he breathes out, you know, everything comes out. So that is the lifespan for Lord Brahma. This description is there in the Bhagavad Gita. We can understand and read it. So therefore we have to understand that there is this very beautiful principle of connectedness and disconnectedness, which the Navayogendras are able to see, and we, because of our lack of knowledge or lack of anubhava, we are not able to sense or perceive. So, the example is given in the purport here, earlier purport, which I have not read today, but it is there in the earlier purport. He says, the Srila Prabhupada example, he gives an example of a tree. He says that a tree is a complete unit, whereas the leaves and branches of the tree are emanated parts. So the branches and leaves have emanated from the tree. So in one sense, the branches and the leaves are tree. But if you just look at the branches and leaves, is that a tree? No, it is not. So simultaneously, it is tree as well as not a tree. So this is the principle which we'll be talking about a little more as we go on. So leaves and branches of the tree are also no tree, but the tree itself is neither the leaves nor the branches. Similarly, part and parcel, our hands and feet, they are emanation from the body. But if you just look at the hand and in the legs, that doesn't constitute the body. The entire thing in its entirety constitutes the body. So this is what we have to understand. So simultaneously, hands and legs are the body and also not the body. So this is the way Krishna's relationship is there with the material energy. Simultaneously there and not there. So Krishna's simultaneous connectedness and non-connectedness with matter can be understood on the basis of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva, about which there is some discussion in this, actually that resolves all the problems which have baffled, spiritual seekers. So all the problems it sorts out. So there is no ambiguity once you accept this principle, Bheda Abheda Tattva. So simultaneous oneness and difference. Just as we discussed in Prabhupada's example of the tree, the branches and leaves are the tree, but also not the tree. So that way, we can understand the functioning of this tree in this manner. So we understand this. So the philosophy of Achintya Bheda Vedatava holds that the Supreme Lord is simultaneously one with and different from His creation. So the Brahma Samhita gives a very beautiful example, which we chant every day. Kshiram yatha dadhi vikara vishesha yoga sanjayate natu tata pratakasti heto yah sambhutam api tatha samupaiti karyat govindamadi purisham tamaham bhajami. So, the common example is that of curds. Now, curd is made from milk. Curd is nothing but milk. But at the same time, curd is not milk. So milk can be transformed into curd, but curd cannot be transformed into milk. Similarly, that is given in relationship to Rudra, Shiva, that Lord Krishna can, his form is, Rudra, but Rudra is not Krishna. So this way we understand the functioning. So Chaitanya Charitamrita presents a very, very nice same concept differently. It says, Maya Sangha Vikari Rudra Bhinna Bhinna Rupa Jiva Tattva Nahe Nahe Krishnera Swarupa. It says that Rudra, Lord Shiva, has various forms which are transformations brought about by association with Maya. So, although Rudra is not on level with Jiva Tattvas like us, still cannot be considered personal expansion of Krishna. So this way Chaitanya Charitamrita explains this subject matter. Then another beautiful verse in Madhya Lila, it says, Dugdayena amla yoge dahi rupa dhare dugdhantara vastu nahe nahe dugdha haite bare. Says milk is transformed into yogurt when it associates with yogurt culture. This yogurt is nothing but milk, but still it is not milk. So this way we understand the simultaneous oneness and difference. This is a concept that is being talked about in this purport. Then in the 10th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna, he asks Krishna. He says that, O Lord, now I accept you as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You are all in all. You are everything. You are the purest of the pure. You are the powerful of the most powerful. Everything I accept. But then he says, it will be nice. He says that, please tell me the details of your divine opulences by which you pervade the entire universe. Vaktum arhisi asheshena divyahi atma vibhutayaha yabhir vibhutibhir lokan iman tvam vyapya tishtasi. How are you situated in this world, material world? How do you pervade everything? Krishna says, I pervade everything. Huh? But how do you do it? And then Krishna in the 10th chapter, which is, I think, Vibhuti Yoga, he describes various, you know, how in the material world we encounter various things. He describes that. Then he says, Krishna says, Hantate katayishyami divyahi atma vibhutayaha pradhanyataya kuru shreshta nasti anta vistarasya. He says that I am there in everything. I am there. Huh? I am the lightning, you know, I am the smell. We'll come to that again. I am the smell of the earth. I am the scent. I am everything. I am the essence of everything. Yet, I am not that. So this is what Krishna says. So Krishna is not only the cause of everything, but has entered into everything at their very existence. Then he says, Rasoham apsu kaunteya prabhasmi shashi suryayo pranava sarva vedeshu khepa urusham rushu. He says that I am the taste of water, the light of the sun and the moon, the syllable om, the Vedic mantras. I am the sound in ether and ability in man. Thus Krishna is educating us that not only he is the supreme personality of Godhead, who is there in the spiritual world, who is there as the worshipable deity in our temples, who is all pervading. But he says that I am also there in everything that you experience in this world. He says that rasoham apsu kaunteya. He says that I am the taste of water. Now, water is something, Srila Prabhupada writes elaborately in Bhagavad Gita, he says that the taste of water is something which you cannot emulate. You may drink anything, but you know, eventually it is water, the taste of water that quenches our thirst. So that water, Krishna says, I am. So whatever is the essence of any principle, Krishna says that I am that. So this way there are a number of verses in the Bhagavad Gita, which we won't go into. But he said that I am also the sound in ether and I am also the ability in man. So how does Krishna enter into the various planets? Bhagavad Gita describes this. In one verse,
Gama Vishyacha Bhutani Dharayami Ahamojasa Pushnami Chaushadi Sarva Somo Bhutvarasatmakaha.
He says that I enter into each planet and by my energy they stay in orbit. Now, all the planets, they are in their respective orbit. The sun also, you know, moves in a particular orbit in a very beautiful way. Now, if the sun were to even slightly deviate from the orbit, if the sun were to come a little wee bit close to the earth would be burnt. If the sun were to go a little away from the orbit, you know, we'll die, you know, frozen, we'll be completely frozen cold. So this way, everything is moving about in orbit. How is it happening? It is happening by the Lord's divine energy. Gama avishyacha bhutani dharayami aham ojasa pushnami chaushadhi sarva. He says that the moon, you know, the various medicines, etc., which you get, they are also all the vegetables, life of the vegetables, that is I am. So Srila Prabhupada writes, it is understood that all the planets are floating in air only by the energy of the Lord. So everything is happening. We may not relate it. When we see the sun, we may not relate it to the Supreme Lord, but the origin we have to understand. So the difference between realized souls is that they see Krishna in anything and everything around them. They see Krishna in the sun, they see Krishna in the moon, in the stars, in the trees. Now a scientist, when he looks at the green coloring matter of plant, he will say it is chlorophyll. But a spiritualist will see Krishna's beauty in the leaves, you will see the beauty of the flowers, So this way the spiritualist will see it differently. So in each and everything Krishna pervades. So the Lord enters into every atom, every planet and every living being. Due to his entrance, everything appropriately manifested. So Srila Prabhupada gives an example in the Bhagavad Gita. He says, when the spirit soul is there in a person, in a living being, he can float on the water. He can float on the water. But when the living spark is out of the body is dead, then what happens? The body sinks. So practically everywhere the spiritual spark is important. So practically everywhere we are spiritual sparks. We are just the ansha of the Supreme Lord. Mamayava ansha jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana. So we are spiritual sparks of the Supreme Lord, and because the spiritual spark is within us, we are doing different types of activities. The moment the spark is gone, the body is just, you know, made of a heap of bones and flesh, nothing else, which starts rotting within a short time. So that is the spiritual spark. So otherwise the body is dead matter. It is the spiritual spark which enlivens it. Similarly, the entire cosmic manifestation is enlivened by the presence of the Supreme Lord in the form of his various energies. So it is said, Prabhupada writes, that it is said in the Vedic hymns that because of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the sun is shining and the planets are steadily moving. Due to the moon's influence, vegetables are nourished and become delicious. So this way, mankind cannot, Prabhupada writes, cannot survive without the Lord's mercy. So this is there. And then, what about our own selves? In the Bhagavad Gita, there is a beautiful verse which all of us are aware. Sarvasya chaham rudhi sannivishto matta smruti jnanam apohanam cha vedescha sarveraham eva vedyo vedanta krut veda vitta chaham. So Krishna says that I am seated in the heart, and from me come remembrance, knowledge and forgetfulness. By all the Vedas I am to be known. Indeed, I am the compiler of Vedanta and I am the knower of the Vedas. Now, just imagine a situation, we have gone to sleep today and in our sleep, next day we forget who we are. You know, I start thinking that, you know, I am the Prime Minister of the country, or I will be sent to mental asylum. It is because of the Supreme Lord that the remembrance of my material existence, my designation comes to me. So, mattaha smrutihi jnanam apohanam cha. So, even forgetfulness comes. If we were to nurse the memories of our past lives, our existence would be miserable. Not one moment would be pleasurable in this life. But because Krishna gives us also the gift of forgetfulness, we are able to forget. If we are not to forget, every minute we would be miserable. So this is Krishna's mercy. So even in forgetfulness, Krishna's hand is there. He's connected. He is connected in everything. Forgetfulness, remembrance. So if we were to remember our past lives, the type of sinful activity that we committed, if Krishna were to give a memory of that, we won't be able to, you know, survive. So this is Krishna's mercy. So the Supreme Lord is situated as Paramatma in everyone's heart, and it is from him that all activities are initiated. The living entity forgets everything of his past life and he has to act according to the direction of the Supreme Lord, who is witness to all his work. So Krishna is the witness, Upadrushta Anumanta, he acts as that. So we have to count our blessings. We have to really count our blessings. If Krishna were to withdraw that mercy, if Krishna were to, you know, just decide one day that the sun, you know, is given the freedom to move out of his orbit, where would we be? We would not survive. So this is the compassion of the Supreme Lord Krishna. Therefore, we have to accept that Lord is not only all-pervading, but that he is localized in every individual heart he is worshipable not only as impersonal Brahman, the supreme personality of Godhead, and also the localized Paramatma, but as the form of the incarnation of the Vedas as well. So, Vedaischa Sarver Ahameva Vedyo. So, we have to understand that this is the Supreme Lord Krishna. So, as the Supreme Lord, how does he reciprocate? There are so many examples in the Bhagavatam. I would just, in the time that is available, just briefly talk about three pastimes or three lilas. One is about the Narad Muni himself. As we all know, Narad Muni in his childhood, in the first earlier millennium, he was the son of a maid servant. And he started serving the Bhakti Vedantins. He started serving the Bhakti Vedantins, whom his mother also was serving. And because of their mercy and because of his keenness to advance spiritually, he was just a 5-year-old boy, but he was so keen to advance spiritually that he would serve those Bhakti Vedantins and he would assist his mother basically, but then eventually he became too deeply involved in serving the Bhakti Vedantins, and the Bhakti Vedantins were very compassionate. So when the 4 months of Chaturmasya were over, the Bhakti Vedantins left, but they left after giving him all his blessings, after giving him his Uchishta, of their Uchishta, which actually purified his existence. And then Nara, you know, as a young boy, he starts moving, traveling, and then he starts meditating as was taught to him by the Bhakti Vedantins. And one fine day, you know, he's sitting under the shadow of a banyan tree. He's sitting below that. And there, in that forest region, you know, as he's meditating, this beautiful Lord, you know, Paramatma, manifests in his 400 form within his heart. And Narada Muni is completely enchanted, completely. So the super soul manifesting as the 400 form of Krishna is completely overwhelmed by the beauty, divine beauty of the Lord. And then he's in ecstasy. And he continues. And suddenly, the Lord withdraws. This is described in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Makes a very interesting reading, that section. That we cannot take anything for granted. So the Lord manifests the form. And then Narada, he's seeing it within his heart 1 minute. In the next moment, he is not to be seen at all. And then he becomes miserable, he becomes restless. So, that restlessness of a devotee when he is not able to associate with devotees or when he is not able to associate with the transcendental form of the Lord is actually the substratum of devotion, devotional service. So, this is what he starts experiencing. And then the Lord, he hears a voice of the Lord. And the Lord tells him that, O Narada, in this lifespan, this is all that experience that you will get. The next experience will be in the next millennium. So, the super soul reciprocates with Narada. Similarly, the Paramatma within our heart also reciprocates with us. But we may not exactly or really be able to appreciate the way in which he reciprocates with us. We may completely bypass or ignore, but the Lord does reciprocate if we surrender to him. So, in our devotional service, we have this experience, you know, many times we get this, we say that some inner voice told me something, inner voice warned me something, that is the voice of the Paramatma. So, Krishna does reciprocate as a super soul in everybody's life. Then the second episode which I would like to briefly touch upon is the, so when the Supreme Lord, you know, Narad Muni meets Dhruv Maharaj. When he comes out of the palace, he is in a miserable condition, totally distraught because he has been humiliated and insulted by his stepmother, Suruchi. So he comes out of the palace on the advice of his mother. He comes out and he wants to, you know, propitiate the Supreme Lord Vishnu and, you know, seek a blessing, seek a boon which will give him a place which is much higher than that of his great-grandfather also. So he comes out, and on the way he meets Narad Muni, and Narad Muni discourages this young boy. He says that this is the age where you should go and play. But Dhruva says, no, no, I really want to, you know, actually take a position where, you know, my stepmother feels low, you know, feels small. So he has that vindictive kind of attitude in his heart. So he says that, then he, Narad Muni says that, you go, this is not the age, you know, you go back home, you know, you're, everything will be forgotten, you'll be able to play and have nice time. But he's adamant, he's what I call, he's stubborn in one sense, but actually that is resolute determination. He's determined. He's determined to make progress, and then Narad Muni gives him the process by which, you know, he can really, you know, please the Supreme Lord. And Dhruva meticulously follows the process. Young as he is, he's determined, and some 4 or 5 months or 6 months, he accomplishes his objective, and he's seeing the Supreme Lord continuously in his heart, in his, and Yam Shama Sundaram Achinta Gunaswarupam Govinda Madhipurisham Tamaham Bhajami. So he sees the Supreme Lord, and he's deeply absorbed in meditation. He's so much absorbed in meditation, it is described in the Srimad Bhagavatam that he becomes so heavy, that is as if, you know, he is carrying the weight of the entire planet, and all the demigods and everybody becomes, you know, troubled. They approach Vishnu, says that this is what is happening, it seems that our world is becoming topsy-turvy. Then Lord Vishnu says, don't worry, this is my devotee, you know, who is praying so intensely. Then I will go and, you know, bless him. So Vishnu comes, he's within his heart, he manifests himself, and then suddenly, you know, Dhruva stops seeing the super soul in his heart at the 400 form, and he's again distraught. He says, what has happened? Where has the Lord gone? And then suddenly he sees Vishnu in front of him, the 400 form. And then he forgets all his materialistic leanings. He completely forgets why he had come, you know, to the forest in the first place. Actually, he starts regretting that, you know, he's asking for material things. He wants to offer prayers, but he's helpless because he's just a boy, has had no formal education. So he begs of the Supreme Lord. He says that, I want to offer prayers, but I'm not able to do it. So the Lord, you know, understands and appreciates his, you know, distress. And then in his conscious, he touches his head. And then Dhruva, you know, is imbued with all kinds of spiritual knowledge, and he offers beautiful prayers. So the Supreme Lord, as super soul, does reciprocate with Dhruva. And then we have the final example of Prahlad Maharaj. I think yesterday Prabhuji also mentioned it. So at the cost of repetition, I will talk about it. So Hiranyakashipu is, you know, completely anti-Prahlad. He understands that Prahlad, you know, is not actually his worshipper, he's worshipping Narayan. No? So Hiranyakashipu asks Prahlad, in the 7th canto of Srimad, he says, O most unfortunate Prahlad, you have always described a supreme being other than me. Supreme being other than me. And please, no, and above everything, and who is the controller of everyone, so who is all pervading. Hiranyakashipu asked Prahlad, so you describe such a personality, but where is he? You keep talking about him, but where is he? Prahlad Maharaj replies, he's everywhere. He's everywhere. There is no place where he's not there. Then Hiranyakashipu takes up the challenge. I'm narrating it in a short while. The pages of Bhagavatam are filled with this description. So Hiranyakashipu asks, he sees a pillar. He says that, is your Supreme Lord Vishnu, is he in this pillar as well? Prahlad says, yes, he's there. He's in the pillar as well. Now pillar is, from all general standpoint of view, it is a material thing. So he says that, you know, he's there in the pillar as well. And then Hiranyakashipu becomes wild with anger. He takes up his sword, then he comes and he hits the pillar with his fist. And then suddenly there is a huge, you know, there is a sound. He says, Pranava Sarva Vedeshu Shabdaha Khe Paurusham Rushu. So he says, Krishna says earlier, we have talked about this verse, he says that I am Shabda Khe, I am the sound in the sky. And now when Hiranyakashipu hits the pillar, out the pillar, you know, cracks, and out of that comes a sound and a form which Hiranyakashipu has never ever heard. The sound which comes out of which Narasimha Deva makes at that point in time was such that it penetrated even the other planets, and everybody, you know, became scared, including the demigods like Brahma. They all wondered what has happened. It seems as if, you know, our planets are going to be destroyed. Brahma has created the planet. It seems as if, you know, the planets are going to be destroyed. So this way he is worried. And then, when the thundering sound comes, you know, Prabhupada writes that practically everyone is afraid of thunderbolts. No? So he says that, you know, when that thundering sound came, Srila Prabhupada writes in a beautiful report, however powerful a man may be, he is always fears the sound of thunderbolt. Similarly, Hiranyakashipu and all his demons who were and associates were extremely afraid because of the presence of the Supreme Lord, and especially they were afraid of the sound, the garjana which he made. So everybody got, you know, scared, and the Lord eventually came out. So to prove the statement of his servant, that is Prahlad Maharaj, the Supreme Lord manifests himself as Narasimha Deva Bhagwan, and then he gets rid of Hiranyakashipu. He destroys Hiranyakashipu. So this way we see that the Supreme Lord is there. He can present himself out of a pillar. He can present himself in the form of a kurma. He can present himself in the form of bird, what have you. So it is entirely up to the Supreme Lord how he wants to manifest himself. So this is the beauty. And these Navayogendras, they are able to see, they are able to relate to, you know, everything that they see in the Mother Earth, in the material world. And this way, they go about preaching. So in the pages to come, we will come to know about the question which Nimi, Lord King Nimi, asks these Navayogendras. And one at a time, one Yogendra, you know, will respond to the queries of Nimi. All of them are very, very interesting and spiritually enlivening discussions. Hare Krishna. Anybody has any questions or comments? Prabhuji, any questions or comments? Srimad Bhagavat Puranam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.